Hello.
Hello.
This is exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting.
What are we doing? Do we know?
Well, we're doing a podcast.
Ah, what does that mean?
We'll find out in a minute. Right.
Okay.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to How to Build a Comic-Con. I'm Simon.
How to build a what?
Comic-Con.
Ah.
Introduce yourself to
me. Oh, right. Hello. I am How to Build a Comic-Con. No, I am JJ. Welcome to our, what is it, a podcast?
It's a podcast.
We're just going to sit here and talk like this.
It's pretty much what we've done for the last 12 years. So,
right,
yeah,
excellent.
Pretty much.
Okay. So what we're doing about Phil the Force Day?
We are. So
okay.
I thought this would be a good idea for us to do a little podcast series about how we put Phil the Force Day together.
Oh.
And I thought today we might sort of start to talk about where it all came from.
What, you mean there's work involved before the day?
Turns out we don't just pitch up and it happens.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
Who'd
a shame.
Have thought it? I figured over the next few weeks we could sort of get into the nuts and bolts of how the event works, how
yep.
we put it together,
okay.
talk to some of the people who are involved, whether those are celebrity guests or some of the volunteers we've got and some of the people who have
Or the man
along.
That runs the Mobiloo.
Or the that'd man that good. Runs the Mobiloo, maybe. I'm going to see if I can get him for an interview.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But today, I really wanted to talk about where we started and how we got going. And there's only one man to ask about that, and that's
it,
you.
Well, but yeah, who'd have thought it?
Who'd have thought it, yeah.
I don't even know how to boil water, so this is going to be fun.
We ain't got a cooker from the start, so yeah.
Right, okay. So going back then.
Yeah, well, let's start with where it all began.
2013, I was working as a waitress.
In a cocktail bar.
I was
thinking that as you were saying it.
I was working with Jimmy. For those of you that don't know, Jimmy is deafblind, and my plan was to come up with a day where he could learn about Star Wars through touch. So Jimmy lived at a housing area with a lot of guys that were visually impaired. So the plan was to invite 20 of them to come along, fill some costumes, fill some toys, have a cup of coffee, just a chill day, but for them to learn about the characters in Star Wars through touch. So that was the initial plan. It was all advertised on social media.
I remember. I actually blocked you for a little while because
it was
getting so bloody annoying.
It did. Well, it started off as me not really knowing what I was doing. Not that that's changed much. But I just kept plugging it, and then I got a message from Warwick Davis, saying that he would like to help. So that was fantastic. But because of him helping, it just sort of got bigger and bigger and far out of my control until the day, well, the build-up to the day, I'd say probably a week or couple of weeks, but not long before the actual event, I was starting to panic because it was all getting a bit grown up, and I had no idea because it was meant to be for 20 people, and then I was getting messages all the time from morning till night saying, when is it on, can we come, can we bring, blah blah blah.
Has that changed?
No, that hasn't changed
not
at all
really, no.
But then, because it was me and it was going to be a quiet thing, and now it was slightly getting out of hand, and people were saying, oh, have you booked St. John's Ambulance, and have you got what's the word I want,
insurance,
that's the
yeah.
one, have you got insurance,
I remember.
Have you got, I was like, what, I've got a box of toys and a funny t-shirt, that's about all I've got. So then I put a call out on Facebook just to say help. Basically, this idea that I've got that's happening has got a bit out of hand, and I need someone with a bit of know-how, a grown-up, as it were, because it did get very out of hand, which was a pleasant surprise, but it was a shock because the The venue that we had to start with, we was given the PSL Club, which is down the Lincoln Road. Masses of potholes in the car park. It was probably the most non-disabled friendly building in the world. There was no disabled toilets because it didn't need to be in theory. It was just for visually impaired people that would have been guided in and sat down and then handed some toys. So it didn't need to be all singing and all dancing. But it turned out on the day when Warwick turned up and 450 people plus turned up instead of 20, and we had to let them in shifts, because something else I didn't click was the capacity of the venue was only 250 people, and we had hundreds. So we had to keep some outside and let the first lot in, and let the second lot in. But meanwhile, Simon, that's you.
That's me.
You answered the call on Facebook. So you sort of appeared and helped in more ways than one, because I think I was fundraising as well, because it had got so big so quick. Mm. So I did need money. I needed to feed the costumers. You can't expect them to come and do everything for nothing. The least you can give them is a sandwich. So I think you funded the Kickstarter. It was a Kickstarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember. You did a Kickstarter to try and raise money. And
it was all done a bit late because it was all a bit of a panic.
Well, to put it into context, I remember sitting down and going, right, what are we going to need for the day to make this work? And I went through, right, you're going to need some insurance. You're going to need to make sure you've got volunteers. You're going to need to make sure that you've got, you know, people guiding people into the building so they're going the right way. You don't want them to end up in the bar by accident or something like that. Not that was a problem, to be fair. That's where we spent the rest of the evening after it finished.
We
didn't want them to go there for the actual event. So it was all the kind of technical back end of the event that was there. And at the time, I ran a company that helped people with disabilities to manage their own care packages. Mm-hmm. And so I had a fair bit of experience on what it takes for someone with a disability to be able to get by in the world.
Yeah.
That, and also, you know, at the time, I think my brother was 31, so it's not like I was blind to the needs of people with disabilities.
Yeah.
So coming in and basically looking at all the bits that you might have missed because it wasn't something you'd been thinking about, and go, right, let's see how we can professionalise this.
No, it turned into something that, well, it still delivered what I wanted it to deliver, but it was just bigger.
Yeah.
Which is
so
fine.
We had at the beginning, I mean, you did the Kickstarter, and yeah, I put a bit of money into that at the very beginning to get us off the ground. But there was no real budget and no sort of experience of venues and no experience of anything.
No.
So how did you manage to encourage all these people dressed in cosplay to turn up at the event?
It was because of the type of event that it was, I think, and the way I explained it. I'd worked with a guy that was blind, not Jimmy, different guy who's moved now, and he would stay in every day. He'd never go out. He would stay in and he would watch Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi every day. He was born blind, so he's never seen it, but he's heard it. And he could recite everything from start to finish, every film, do all the voices, but he had no idea at all what the creatures were, what a robot was, what a monster was, what the characters looked like, how big was an Ewok, and all that sort of stuff sort of got me thinking. And that was the initial plan. But then it turned out that there's so many disabled people and adults with LD in Peterborough, and they're all crying out constantly for stuff to do.
So I remember us talking about a lot of the things that my brother was being invited to take part in. Because it was a fair while after, but it wasn't that long after that he'd sort of come back from college and been looking to sort of set up his life, having been we grew up in Peterborough, went to Helway School, and then went off to a college in Coventry for people with disabilities. And he came back and there really wasn't a lot there for him, but what was there was pretty, it was bowling. And it was, you know, that kind of thing. It was
go to the cinema, go to the bowling,
all these sorts of things.
That actually,
by the time you've done it a few times, it gets really expensive as well.
Well, yeah, can do.
And Matt spent his whole life living on benefits, and basically, and he can't afford to do stuff like that every day.
Not overly exciting.
So there was,
in all
for
fairness.
Me, there was always like a big gap in the, say the market. There was a gap in the market for something a bit more interesting for people with disabilities to do. And what was the response like from sort of the wider disability community, people, carers, families, people like that? What was initially, at least?
It got bigger as we got closer to the event, and I think once they experienced the event, it was I was being thanked for it, because it was something good. It was something that was accessible. Obviously, we had a few problems because it was the first one, but there was nothing major. But it was the fact that there was just something else for them to do that wasn't bowling and wasn't a disco with sausage in a basket.
I remember a mate of mine was there supporting a bloke I know who's deaf and has cerebral palsy, and he took me to one side. He said, the problem with doing something like this size is that next year you've got to make it bigger and better. And there was a four-letter word went across my sort of brain at that moment and went, well, now what do we do? How do we improve on this? Because it was brilliant. You know, I don't know, I've experienced this a few times in my life where you've done something that is just so good, you've achieved something so good, you get this kind of kick of adrenaline and sort of
and that's
a
what
bit
keeps
of a buzz.
You doing it.
It keeps you doing it. But it, like, I remember getting that when Gail did Trail Trekker and I did the support crew for her because I had an injury. And like the high that I felt after having achieved
it,
or doing Field of Force Day, or you know, stuff like that. But for me, there was never a question we weren't going to do it again. It was always going to happen again. How we did it again is another matter, but we were definitely going to do it.
Well, I had no thought or any inclination that it would happen again. I thought once, and then that was it. And then you said.
I said, trust me.
I think there's some legs on this.
Why
don't we do it again? So we did. We did it again. We ended up at a bigger venue that was ridiculously huge, which served its purpose and was a wonderful venue.
I mean, we the growth was amazing. We went from, 450 people to over 2,000 in the first... between the first year and the second year.
And it also went on social media, it just went kaboom. It went like,
I remember the idea of saying, right, we're now going to start charging people to come in, because the first event was free, wasn't
it? Well, that was the plan,
which is why we did the Kickstarter. But the second event, we're like, okay, well, the costs have gone up.
Is it £2.50?
Do you know, I actually can't remember.
There was a song, one of the parodies that Les did is £2.50.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was the second or the third
one.
But there was,
I don't know.
It was, we kept it as low as we possibly could. Yeah. Basically, it was, we worked out if we had, you know, 1,000 people come and they each paid £2.50, that covered the cost of the venue that day. Something along those lines. So I remember us having that conversation and going, right, well, if we did another Kickstarter and then we go from there.
Oh, sorry, I'm just tuning up.
I remember if anyone can hear, there's a bit of music in the background. That's because we're currently recording at PCR FM, and Steve sat here doing the sound work for us, but they have got the radio station on in the meantime, and they've got the band playing
there's
in the
a
background.
Man playing the guitar, looks like Popeye.
We won't tell you when we're here. Yeah, the guy playing the drums looks like I did about 10 years ago.
He's
so
like Weird Al. He does actually.
Yeah, okay.
Right, carry on.
Right,
so what
were
you talking about?
We'll edit that out. we got to like the £2.50 figure or the £2 figure, whatever it was. I'll look it up later.
Mm-hmm.
But just basically to cover its own costs and knowing that we were going to do
that's
another...
That's the only reason that we charged, in theory. Yeah. If it could be free, then it would be.
But... Well, no, there was more to that, because I remember having a conversation with you, which was... some people have got tickets on the off chance they might want to come, and they're not turned up. If we put a face value on the ticket, they have to put some money down, and then they won't take the mickey, basically. They won't say, right, I need 250 tickets for everybody in my group.
Yes, because you do get some people,
because you
like
do
that.
Get some people like that. And then only, you know, a dozen turn up, and you've let 200 tickets go spare because there you are. Whereas if you put a face value on it, even if it's a very small amount, then suddenly there's a, you know, people hold it to a higher value.
Yeah, of course, because they put something into it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was year two. So we had over 2,000 people that year. And I think that was the year the BBC came along and did their video on Look East, and we ended up on Newsround as well, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Newsround. Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
I remember.
I do remember that. That was the one with... Was that me? No, that was A Little Wookiee Goes a Long Way. Yeah. Is it that one?
A Little Wookiee Goes a Long Way.
That comes... It turns up on Facebook every year.
I think it's the best line ever used to describe it.
It's got like 15 million views or something stupid.
Something like
it does. It keeps going around every year.
How many of those 15 million are you?
Probably, most of them.
14,900,000 or something like that. Yeah, you and your mum.
Yeah, so that was a winner that we had that. Who'd have thought the lady turned up?
Yeah, I mean, the guys, because, I mean, back in those days...
Who was the lady? What was her name?
Anna Todd.
I see.
Yeah, she used to work for the BBC over there.
They did a couple of things on us, didn't they?
Yeah, so back then they had lots of, like, and I think they're going back to that sort of model, but they had lots of local reporters as well, so she'd be really plugged into what was happening in the local community.
Brilliant. Oh, it was good, because it informed a lot of people that didn't know about it that it was happening.
Well, and that sort of leads us on to the next event. So that was 2014.
We've done three of them.
No, and the rest. 2015,
okay.
That was, we were about 3 weeks earlier than Marty McFly.
Oh, right, okay. You've got a good
Back
memory.
To the Future. So
I remember you saying
so,
that.
So yep. We called it Feel the Force Day Part 3.
Yeah.
Because it was the third one.
Yeah.
And the logo looked remarkably like a certain time travelling film.
That's the one.
That Please Don't Sue Us.
That's the one.
And that event, I mean, that. All right, we've progressively put the price of the ticket up because costs have gone up every year. And
of course. Well, we had to do that because as we're getting bigger, we need to have the venue to get everyone in.
Well, that's it. but I remember, I think it was over 3,000, 3,500 people came to that.
And that was Kingsgate bigger. Again.
That was Kingsgate again.
Okay.
And then on to 2016, which was
Kingsgate again.
If you remember, the poster was the one, it looked a bit like a Marvel Studios logo. That's how I designed it.
Yes.
But it had Batman and the Joker behind
that's
it.
Yeah,
that's right. I just thought I'd try and annoy as many different fans as possible by mixing those two genres up.
That's fine. That was artwork by George Beezer.
It was.
Oh, God, dig that name out.
And then into 2017, which for me, I think was the best organised event we ever had. And it's just coming from the guys.
We do them, do we? Organised events.
We actually genuinely do well organised events sometimes. So for me, that one was the one that went off absolutely without a hitch. We knew the venue inside.
What was the poster? I'm trying to differentiate. What
right, so
event
2017,
it was
the one it was supposed to look a bit like
Toy Story.
The Suicide Squad.
Right, yeah, okay.
Remember? But it had like a broken wall and the logo poking through it, that one.
Okay.
That was
what guest did we have?
Oh God, I don't know.
No, okay. I'm
had
thinking
quite a few of them.
I'm thinking Mr. Leeson was there for that one. That was the voice of K-9.
Maybe.
I'm not 100% sure. I'm just trying to. They all sort of blend into one, I hate to say.
Well, a lot of them do come back again and again year after year.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to do that. But for me, that one, I remember really thinking, you know, this event. We've used the venue to its absolute maximum as we can. We've, you know, pushed it out so that it is as optimised as possible.
The stage was rocking all day.
The guests were brilliant. We knew that venue inside out. We'd done enough of the events already to go, do you know what? We know what we're doing here. And, I mean, we haven't mentioned things like the events we did in Bridgewater with Callie and the family.
And the other one we did.
The one down in Plymouth.
Was it? And there was another one. Where's the other one?
I don't think we quite got to the West Midlands yet, but we were. That was later in the year.
When there was loads of
students. Caution.
There was loads of students lined up at the student
union. That was West Midlands. That was
one.
That was.
And I went in the TARDIS in my pants. That was there.
That probably doesn't narrow it down for our events, to be fair.
It was definitely one of them. No, I think that was Caution.
And then we got into 2018, and that was the last year that we did at Kingsgate. And I think at that point we had about 7,000 people through the door that day.
Which is ridiculous.
And I remember walking into the main sort of auditorium in there and not being able to get through.
No.
And I'm 6'2", and I was wearing a bright yellow T-shirt, and it said head honcho on the back or something like that.
Yeah.
And even then people weren't getting out of the way.
No.
And I had I just couldn't get in. So at that point, if even the guy running the show can't get in the building.
No, it was chaos.
Then we need to look at
and if you think we could have
increased
up to
size.
However many wheelchairs at a time.
Yeah.
It all takes up room, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's
it. It was starting to get busy then. And then we moved.
And so we moved.
Which
should we take a little break at that.
If you want to, yeah, let's have a
And then we'll talk about what happened in 2019.
Okay.
Right. We'll be back after this.
Hello and welcome back to Sunday Kitchen. What is it?
No. Sunday Kitchen.
How to cook tender stem broccoli in your sock.
Welcome to How to Build a Comic-Con.
Okay.
Welcome back from the break.
We're
trying to make
this
sound professional, JJ.
No, that's not going to happen, is it? Not all the time, are we?
That's an interesting... Joe, what? This is quite an interesting point at which we could talk about the kind
of... tender stem broccoli?
No, not the tender stem broccoli, which I quite like, by the way.
Yeah, so do I.
Particularly a bit of chilli on there, some oil, nice crispy edges. Probably some people say it's overcooked, but I like it. Anyway, I digress again. The way that we always set up Feel the Force Day was to feel a bit like a school fete.
Yes.
Have that kind of...
element of tat.
A tat and a little bit cheap in places, but ultimately quite friendly and nice. But in
we
the
don't
background...
want it too polished and too...
Yeah, we don't want to feel like it's like one of the big London Comic-Cons where everything is sort of laid out
proper.
And you follow a sign and all that sort of stuff.
No.
You know, but at the same time, what we want it to be like, rather than feel like, is absolutely polished. We want to know, we want to be in control of every single action that needs to be taking place. We want to make sure that people are in the right spot. We want to make sure that things are working properly.
Yeah.
And I think, as far as we can control, pretty much we got to that point in around about 2019 when actually suddenly we're at this massive event that we probably hadn't planned on getting.
I think the only thing that was a bit of a downer was the size of the venue.
I think it was probably a bit big for us. But we filled it.
Oh yeah,
well.
We did fill it, but it had no soul.
Yeah, it kind of lacked that.
By the time I'd walk from one end of the room to the other, it was the end of the event.
Well, because you only walk very slowly. I did about 20,000 steps that day.
It was just too big and too, I don't know, it just didn't feel like a Feel the Force Day.
No, I think you're right. And I think we kind of learned from that, and I think if the showground had stuck around and it hadn't been because it's all been knocked down for housing now, isn't it? So it was not around anymore.
But it had a lot of amazing elements that, you know, we had loads of live bands at night, we had a guest from the States.
First time.
So it was all things that, you know, never ever thought that would be happening. But we, you know, we did that. It was just the, I don't know, it just felt wrong there.
It's an interesting one because I know we talked about it, like, you know, one day maybe we'll end up at the showground as an event. Maybe we could end up there. We'll get big enough that one day we could put an event on in that
and
building.
And we did.
And we did, and it kind of lost its soul on the way.
I didn't like it. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's it. So we, I mean, ultimately we decided in 2020 we were going to take a break because we'd done it for, what, 7 events at that point in Peterborough, plus the others that we'd done.
Yeah.
I needed a rest because, contrary to what seems like popular belief, we don't just pitch up the day before and everything just happens. It takes about
it's just me,
18
I think,
months.
That.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
me that just turns
I
up
remember.
The day before. Yeah, it takes a year, doesn't it, to prep?
And sometimes more. So we were already talking about, you know, the next Feel the Force Day that we're planning, which is in 2026. We were talking about that, what, 3 or 4 months ago?
Yeah.
You know, and we got a provisional date booked for it, which, depending on what... when this goes out, people may or may not know about, but we'll tell you when we can.
Well, now. We'll tell you now. You just told them.
I didn't tell them there's a date. I told them it's
Oh, there is a date. There's a proper date.
Yeah, there's
date
actual date set.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yes, you did. I told you the other day.
Oh.
So whether there's, you know, where was I?
I don't know. I'm listening to him next door.
Yeah, it's a bit distracting.
Oh, Popeye with his bus pass.
So we decided to take a bit of a break in 2020 because it takes 18 months to put together an event. Sometimes you can do it quicker, but...
Oh, that's what we were talking about, how long it takes to sort everything out.
Like a year and a half
of
booking guests, booking hotels, booking...
then rebooking guests after they cancel.
Rebooking guests after they cancel.
Or
they
fall over or
that's
something.
It.
Get eaten by a pony or something.
Fundraising was always a big thing for us. That was, you know, it took...
Oh, yeah, so months. Another thing, the year just gone... Now, am I right in saying it's the first year we've ever got funding?
Not entirely.
Okay.
We have had some funding
some
in the
funding,
past.
But
we've
not...
had like £1,000 here or £500 there.
But this year
we
was...
got £16,950.
There you go.
Well, CDA got £16,950 for running
Brilliant.
For the full
And
stage
we work season. Through the
through,
CDA.
Through CDA to do it, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got some funding for the event this year, which is meaningful funding.
We're getting very old now. And we can't be doing these London Comic Cons 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's the kicker, isn't it? I remember we go to London to try and fundraise.
It gave us momentum, which we realised that we'd sort of lost.
Yeah, so, well, let's talk about 2020.
Okay.
And why we chose not to do it.
Okay.
Because it turned out to be a lucky decision because we didn't know what was around the corner.
No.
And we would have had to cancel it for the next 2 or 3 years anyway.
Yes.
I'm not sure. If anyone doesn't remember, there was a small pandemic. You might know about it. I certainly haven't forgotten about it in PCR because they've still got the COVID sign on the wall saying you have to do test and trace.
And because of our guys being highly vulnerable, we didn't want to come back too soon. We wanted to wait and wait and wait. So there wasn't any problems.
Finally, we were ready to come back in, 2024? And we started talking about it in 2023, didn't we?
Yeah.
And
then it was where?
The only venue we could reasonably get at that point was Peterborough Cathedral.
And I just laughed when he said that.
Which is interesting, actually, because a few years earlier, I'd suggested it because a friend of mine called Lee had suggested it to me in the pub one night. And I said it to JJ and he went,
huh? You're having a laugh.
And I'm like, I'm sure there's something in this. I reckon we could do it. No, we're not doing it. So we parked it. And then we parked it for ages. And then by the time we got to 2023 and looking for a venue,
there is nowhere else.
So it is basically the cathedral or bust, isn't it?
Yeah. And we know now that it was the right decision.
Oh, it was mega. Absolutely fantastic.
It was. It was phenomenal as a venue. We didn't have any trouble with the sound, which I thought we might have done, but I didn't. I was just aware that the cathedral, being a cathedral, would have, you know, issues with echoing and all that business. But well, that wasn't a major problem, I don't think.
It wasn't built 700 years ago for a sound stage and speakers, was
no,
it?
No, definitely
not. It was built for an organ to echo through the building.
It was accessible. It was easy to get to. The staff were amazing. They were there
honestly, the most helpful bunch of people you could meet.
To finish, they was there with us, cleaning it up and setting it up. So, yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. We should have gone there years ago, I think.
Told you so. To say I told you so.
There
just want to
go.
Point this out. See?
Yeah, well, I said, yeah, well, it was just
go.
A weird...
It's on camera now.
It was almost like, there's nowhere else. Let's just pick somewhere big, the cathedral. So,
we even looked at... I was looking at...
we looked everywhere.
I was trying to find the contact details of the right person in Queensgate so that we could borrow the old John Lewis's building so we could put the event on in there.
Yeah.
And then, just as I'm about to call somebody, Sports Direct announced that they're going to create a Frasers in there or whatever the department store is going to be called. And that's it. They're now outfitting it. So it would never have worked. And come on, there's got to be somewhere. Can go.
And there was only the cathedral.
It's only the
Everyone
biggest,
was saying the football
biggest,
ground.
Oldest building
but I don't
around,
think the
around.
Football ground would have been accessible enough and it would have been too spread out.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to find something where it's like continuous. That's the word I want. Yeah. So, you know, you go in and you just walk around. You're not getting lost in out of rooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was just amazing.
So we booked the cathedral.
We did.
And, you know, that was... We were hoping to do it at our usual spot, which would have been sort of between September and late October 2024. But they didn't have any space for us.
No.
So we had to push it back another 6 months. And then we put the event on, which, I mean, I remember sitting there a couple of weeks before the event in May going, right, guys, what have I forgotten? What have I forgotten? What have I forgotten?
Because there
must
is.
Have missed something.
There is
Why
a team
haven't I got
of
enough to do?
20, 30 of us.
Yeah.
And we all sort of work on different things. We've all got our own things that we get on with, but we also do a bit of everything else.
Yeah.
So it is hard to keep a track of who's done what or what needs doing or has this been done or. But strangely. We felt safe and happy that everything was...
Well, I remember just sitting there 2 weeks out going, I must have forgotten something because I remember always. Like the first big event we did, I was sat there in my office in my house with like a compass cutting out circles to make t-shirts the next day. Mm. And I was up till 3 a.m. just cutting circles out so we could print the t-shirts the next day to sell them as merchandise.
Have we done this? What about this?
Yeah.
What about this? And it is, it's continuous.
And I was going through this list of things that I'd thought of, and like, I'd admit that it had been a long time since I'd done one, so I kind of thought I'd probably have forgotten something. Mm. We got to the day.
I think what
nothing. It's brilliant.
What most of it was that we've all been waiting for it.
Yeah.
So we was all sort of ready, and underneath the stress of everything, we was all excited that it was coming back.
Yeah, I think there were moments leading up to this event where I'm going, right, I think this has to be the last one because I'm just so so exhausted by it. Yeah. It's just so much stress. I haven't got the time. I'm not sure I can do it. But, you know, we had unfinished business with it because of how it ended, and we wanted to bring it back.
Yeah.
But then we come out that event and I'm like, right, that's it. We've got to do another one and a one after that. And I'm never giving up. I'll be dead before this stops.
Well, this one was welcomed back with open arms like it was a lost cat.
Yeah.
Everyone just loved it. And
oh, look, there's your puppy. He's been gone for years.
Yeah, that's what it was like. And everyone was happy to be there, and everyone was happy to see everyone, and it was just buzzing.
Yeah, I think the atmosphere that we managed to create in there was amazing. And I think, you know, at this point we need to really pay tribute to the volunteers that came, not just the guys who came on the day, but particularly for me, the guys who sit in my living room once every 2 weeks, discuss what actions need to be taken, how we arrange it, and what
they
we
all
do
eat, everything.
And eat pizza when it's not being stolen by the dog.
That's the one. Yeah. Lovely doggies. It's weird because I sit there and I think, oh my God, what's going on? You know, looking back at how it was, and now there's like a team of us, and we're all doing different things, and it's like, and it continues to still gather interest. It gets bigger every time we do it.
It does amaze me because
it doesn't wear out.
Over the years, I think I counted this up years and years ago, and we've probably done a couple of events since, so I might just, in my head, I reckon we've had around about 60,000 people come to feel the first day events over the years, which is...
Well, yeah.
Just
and
mega.
I would say a lot of them...
I mean, plenty of them are doubles. They've come several times, but 60,000 times someone's come into our event.
And a lot of them wouldn't normally go to an event like this because we know a lot of the other events that are similar to us are not as accessible as we are. So we do offer something that they can't get anywhere else, and that's why they come to us.
Yeah.
You can go to the other events, but you won't get as much from it as we know with going with Jimmy and Matt. And it's you can have a day out, but to a certain level.
So I wonder, because we've done a little while on this, and all the advice I read about how to make a podcast is says you need to do between 20 and 50 minutes. So we're probably coming up to the end of this now.
Okay.
If you were to think back about, you know, let's do a couple of things each. All right.
Okay.
Two things. All right. Two questions.
Okay.
Your favorite guest from the years gone by, and your favorite moment from the years gone by.
Ugh.
So do your favorite guest first.
Okay. Very difficult. We've been lucky with guests. We have had some lovely guests that have been amazing. Lovely for the guys to meet. I'm just trying to think. With regards to my favourite guest, as in favourite because the guys were really excited about it. And when I say guys, I mean the people that come. I will say Hacker. Hacker the dog. Purely because of how excited a lot of the people that came were. They were excited that he was going to be there. And that's sort of the level of guests that we want for the audience that we've got. So I would say him for the guests. And I was very happy that we had John Challis
Boycie
before he passed away. And he rung us up and said he was in Peterborough doing a show at the Quay that night. Could he come to our event and sell stuff in the day? Yes you can.
I just think that, do you know what, that sort of thing is amazing, because I remember I spoke to Tina at the last event we did, and she said how our reputation had preceded us in terms of how we look after guests and things like that. I was really pleased with that, because, you know, to have a good reputation in the way that you treat people It's the most important thing. Whether that's a guest or whether it's someone who comes as a costumer or whether it's a volunteer or someone like that. I just want, you know, that ultimately the event is more important than anybody, including me and you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the event is bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
But it should never mean that the human aspect is forgotten.
No,
this is really only about the people. We'd be nowhere if it wasn't for the volunteers and the people who come along as visitors and guests who come along and things like that.
Yeah, the costumers and everything. Everyone is a big part of it. And without them, it wouldn't work at all.
Right then, so what's your favourite moment from all the Field of Force Day events? 60,000 people, 12 years with a bit of a break in the middle somewhere.
I've lost count of the number of actual events because
there's quite a few of them. Okay.
Right, so I'm going to go for Effie, who I believe had Batten's disease and quite non-responsive until I think her family showed her the smell jars, and there was one smell jar that she really reacted to in a way that they was very surprised at. She was very vocal and animated to the point where she wouldn't let them put the smell down. So I ended up walking back to the car with them with the smell jar for her to take home because she didn't want to be without it.
Yeah.
So something like that, which is, you know, when you write it down, it sounds a bit stupid, but on the day, it was like...
Not at all, mate. So, I, do you know what? I remember you telling me about her, because I wasn't there for that bit. I didn't see that happen. You told me about it.
I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. Like something so little.
But it was the way that they could then start to... Like, her parents then could start thinking about, well, there is a way in for us. We can start, you know, working out a way to communicate with her in some way, shape or form, even if it's just to be able to say what she likes and doesn't like.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Most response I'd ever had from
like
her.
Most of the things that you witness, it was just a little thing that went on that if I hadn't been there at that particular time, I wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
But stuff goes on like that all the time, these little gems that happen throughout the day.
Yeah.
That you know, you see photos and you think, oh, wow, look at that. I didn't see that, but there it is, proof.
So I think...
Guest,
well... You know I'm a secret massive fan of Benidorm.
Of course.
And so Sheila Reid is going to be difficult to top for me because she's just brilliant. She's just one of the nicest people we ever brought in.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, there's so many great guests that we've had over the years.
She couldn't come this year.
Really gutted she couldn't come. John Altman. I've always been a big fan of John Altman. I've never been a fan of EastEnders, but I just love the fact that in real life, he is quite so moral and straight talking. I aspire to
that sort of
way that people are, where they stand by what they think and they don't mind telling people exactly what they think and really doesn't matter what you think.
No. we've done really well with guests.
Done amazingly well.
Looking back
Hattie's always been a great guest to have because she's so positive about the event. I always loved having her.
Which is good.
And
it's nice when people get it, when people understand what we do.
And to be fair, Warwick's contribution to the event over the years has been enormous. We've probably been nowhere.
I can't believe I didn't say him. I should have.
I'm surprised you didn't. I think Warwick's contribution, we'd be absolutely nowhere if it wasn't for him. Probably the idea that we could have got 2,000 people at an event the second year we did it would have been a pipe dream if it wasn't for him coming. So we really need to give him, you know.
Yeah, he's been at several.
His input has been amazing. My favourite moment.
Mm.
I'll say favourite moment.
Best this is
not necessarily favourite, but certainly most important to me was Ava.
Mm-hmm.
And at the first event, for those of you who don't know, Ava was I think she was 2 years old, wasn't she? She's a little girl who had an interest in our Wookiee fur that we had on the table. She decided that she was absolutely in love with it and that was it.
She was going to take it.
She's going to take it home. There was going to be a fight, basically, if she didn't get it. Anyway, somehow she didn't get it. But she did really sadly pass away.
Not long after, a month or
so afterwards, I think. And I remember us being invited to her funeral, and we went to Norwich to go to the funeral and do all of that stuff. And then I remember sitting in the burial ground where they had this kind of building where they did all the service and everything. And they had a big screen up on and all the pictures from her life and the realization that if you're a, well, seeing one of the pictures of her at Feel the Force Day,
yeah,
at the first event that we did,
mm-hmm,
and the realization that if you're 2 years old, you've only got, you know, what, 700 days,
yeah,
in your life,
and that's it.
And that one day, like Feel the Force Day, can be such a massive part and can genuinely, yep, be the best day of your life.
Yeah.
And just sitting there looking at it, the fact that, you know, one of the photos from our event made it onto that reel,
yep,
that they're showing everybody.
And it was. There was quite a few of Feel the Force Day.
Yeah, it, and, it, one and it just... after the other.
We found it very difficult to keep it together.
Well, you kept it together. I didn't. I was a gibbering mess on the floor by the end of it. It was bloody awful. But
we handed Wookiee fur over. Yeah. And as far as I know, it got buried with her, as far as I know.
I think for me, that was the moment where I went, you know what, it's really not about, the event, yeah, is about so much more than just putting an event on. It's so, yeah, important to some people, and it's such a big thing, yeah, for people. And that's why I've just, right, we've got to do this, and we've got to make it bigger, and we've got to do, yeah, more.
And that's where, why we do it.
And that's where it came to.
It's magic.
So there we go. That's the history of Feel the Force Day.
Oh,
that's,
that was exciting.
A good way to start.
We didn't have a script or anything.
No. I just had some ChatGPT notes that were ignored. Oh, yeah. All right.
So we'll come back again another week and do another one.
Yeah.
Well, that's so exciting if they let us back.
Well, depends.
Hopefully it won't be Popeye next time. It'll be somebody else. I think somebody's propping him up with a broomstick or something.
We're here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. We're not, but just in case. anyway. So,
right,
thank you everyone for listening. It's been a pleasure, and we will see you next time.
Will we?
Well, they'll hear us.
Right, okay. Bye-bye.